Jema. So we are now taking up the last two volumes left in this series of collected works, that is 19 and 20. Probably more will come as letters are discovered. So much is going around in the world, and very often people in the name of Sri Aurobindo and the mother say that, well, since all life is yoga, we must engage with everything. That's not what Sri Aurobindo has said when he says all life is yoga. What he means is that everything should be uplifted to yogic heights. Everything from eating, sleeping, interaction, everything can be and should be uplifted to the highest, divinest heights. Naturally, this is a very, 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 very specialized endeavor. And one has to understand its, I'm using the word seriousness a little lightly. I mean, in the sense that not serious that we have to become serious or look serious. But one has to understand the importance of this work. And especially when we know that there are very, very, very few people, if you take the worldwide, who are even thinking about engaging with a higher evolution. It's nothing less than that. And therefore, one should be careful. World, lot of things are going around under the pressure of the world forces and, you know, under the pressure of the divine and the world forces. There is interaction. And one needs to understand that. And this understanding can only come, not when we rush into it, into the world just as it is, but by stepping back, ascending, so that we can have a true look. We can look at it as divine would look at it, very simply. So it's a very special endeavor for which ashram has been made actually. This is the idea that while we are here, all the life we are exposed to all the different currents of life in some measure or the other. But fortunately, in a controlled laboratory conditions. So one goes through it. And when you come out, then you understand that the process is. So many times when people are very early into the yoga, they feel, oh, it's the same thing as we find outside. Excuse me. It's not true. Actually, in the beginning, when one comes, there are three stages in this journey. That's what we'll read in this correspondence. First is when we come with the psychic in front. We are all like mother, yoga, that's it. This is the first stage. So then one is, obviously this is not common in the world. People are leading life as they are leading with their own goals. Then we have to reckon with all the forces that are there in the world. And sometimes it comes with a vengeance because each one is a representative of a certain difficulty. Now this is the stage when one is in it, one may feel that, well, what is this? I am caught up in, life is worse, more difficult. Maybe it was fine outside. People get the impulse to go away. All kinds of letters are there, which includes people like Champak Lalji. I mean, they all went through this phase. But if you can come out of it, then you are ready to sail to the new world, which is what we saw in the movie, the movie on the famous Homer's Odyssey. So it is a similar journey. Initially, you sail very happily. You have won a kind of victory in the world by taking this decision. Then everything is fine. Then slowly the challenges come. They come, they mount. You become a representative of certain challenges because the whole world is in the ashram. It's all the world forces that you see outside are very much here as tendencies and sometimes their expression. And when you come out of it, then the divine artisan has shaped something at least worthwhile out of you. And that's what the yoga is. So this is the background. So we must understand we are into a special work. And if we may say so, not in any egoistic sense, but we must understand the importance of this work. Ultimately, the fate of humanity depends upon whether we can cross a critical barrier and ascend to a new consciousness and transform earthly life. Ascension has been tried in Vedic times. And they used to isolate and try. I mean, there have been other efforts at ascension. But here is a transformation, a very, very special work. So one has to understand, put all one's energy into it. And then we see how the mother, that's why yesterday was Guru Purnima, everybody was busy. In our yoga, it's not Guru, it's mother. It's to say she is Guru is to, she has herself said, you want to bring me down. Guru will point the way. Excuse me, you walk your way. Mother carries us all along the way. Not only carries, she delivers us first. Takes care of every outer and inner need. And then she takes us through every small little detail of life. Mothers are the only ones who will take care of even the smallest details. Dads are concerned that, okay, he is studying, doing well, he gets a job. But mothers are like that. So divine mother, we can imagine. So there are some, one thing we must say, that though there are some very well-known names here, Dhyuman Bhai, Champak Lalji, Dilip Kumar Roy, Tara Patel, but we must understand that these letters which we are reading here are only a fragment. So we should not rush to any conclusion reading on these letters. They are written at different stages of development. So it's not meant to draw a judgment on Dhyuman Bhai or Champak Lalji. That is the silliest thing to do. It is to understand even the best have gone through their challenges. And when we see that they have come out of it, then it serves as a great example. That should be the whole idea. So this is a letter the mother writes to Dhyuman Bhai. Never kill lizards. They are most useful creatures. Without them, you would be devoured by the insects. Now, it's a very small thing. Is this yoga? Very much in every sphere of life, there is yoga. You feel afraid of a lizard. You don't like it. You are feeling repelled. Why? Because it doesn't look nice. So, we have to look at things from a little dispassionate point of view. So, there is a question that Dhyuman Bhai asked. He was later on, he was, in the ashram as trustee, one of the trustees. But this is much before that, before any trustee was there, 1932. So he used to look after the dining room and, hand over things. Mother, when I handed the monthly prosperity things to me, I thought, when P handed the monthly prosperity things to me, I thought, what will mother do if the stock of toothbrushes is exhausted? Mother must have this one. It goes to mother. He took out one. Now see the example she sets for. What will mother say? Thank you so much. You're so lovely. You thought about it. It's a sign of bhakti. What does she write? I have taken already my precautions. Why this letter? Because it's 1942, the Second World War. So a lot of money. Everything had gone skyrocketing. People were having literally... dal was dal, nothing, and very watery lentils, hardly anything. So once in a while when some tomato or potato will float, people used to say, ah, today we had a feast. This is how the ashram at one stage people went through. So she says, I have taken already my precautions. What is the precaution normally people will take? I'll continue with the brush for a long time or keep. Since more than 4 months, I'm using my finger as a toothbrush and find it quite convenient. So I am sending back your toothbrush. If you have no use for it, you can return it to the stores. This is the example. So each letter is wonderful, but how people used to go through difficulties. Oh, Dhyuman Bhai is writing, my dear mother, there is no peace and happiness in my being. Just to see the challenges, all of them have gone through. When you see the finished product, then yes. But the journey is journey. What has happened to me? Once Shurvindo writes, if nobody in the ashram is ready to go through the stress of transformation, it's only because of the grace. Nobody, says even the strongest sadhaks, goes through his own challenges. What has happened to me? It was 7 years ago when I was in the hospital that I took the final decision. I am here to live at the feet of Sri Aurobindo. It is my only life. See how he has come. But then he writes, today there is a great struggle in me. So, I hope it will not lead to misery, trouble, peril and difficulty. My body falls down as if it is dying. Mother, my heart is completely broken today. I don't know whether any of you have met Dhiman Bhai. I have met. He used to write to me on my birthdays, same birthday we share. Even two lines, and somehow there was a fondness, but for what reason I do not know. Certainly it was not because we shared the birthday, but he was very fond. He would just catch, come, give those nice, beautiful cards and all that. So mother writes, what has happened? I am anxious and want to know. She is anxious. She is divine mother. Imagine, divine mother is anxious. She should be in samatha. That's how we understand. How does it matter? Practice samatha, karma, all this will go away. That's how normally a guruji will say. But she is divine mother. She's not a guru saying, you know, you do more meditation, find your defect inside. So she says, I am anxious and want to know. Anything wrong physically? Of which heart are you speaking and why? Is there any exterior cause for that? My love is anxious and want to know all about it. And then he wants to work outside. Bless me with thy love. I now go out of the compound for the divine work. For there was some misunderstanding. Mother says, why do you speak of working outside? Do you think that any house of the ashram is outside our atmosphere, even the most material? Some people believe, no, working near Samadhi or working in mother's room, that is like special. And if you are working, let's say, in dining room or in lake or other places, Sri Aurobindo and mother's letters are there that every house of the ashram is our house. It is part of the ashram. It is the ashram. So ashram is not limited to the compound. So she's saying, where you will go outside? Here or there, it is just the same. I am always close to you, helping you, supporting you, working through you. And it is not a few yards more or less which can make any difference for that. Okay, so these are just, I am reading just a couple of sections here and there. More to, you know, her way of working. It's not about sadhaks. We should be very clear. I am not reading anything to understand what a sadhak was. That would be the silliest reason, because, you know, what they became, that's what is important, not what they were. Sometimes I have found this very strange. People say, oh, you know, I met such and such a person. Oh, he had this problem. I said, you are still stuck there. He has moved miles ahead. That's the problem. You are still stuck with somebody whom you met 20 years back and how he was. He has moved miles ahead. So this is how we have to remember, and all the, even the strongest go through difficulties. Okay, so as I said, each letter is wonderful, but just reading a few of them. Okay. Page 119. I'm just randomly selecting, so better not to. Page 119. So Dhiman Bhai asks, my dear mother, H has had one of her usual disturbances. She feels love for him. Okay. She wants me to tell you on her behalf. I have given up hope. I have nothing in my fate except destruction. So this H wants to tell through him to the mother. Mother says, yes, unhappily there is a vital love in her for you. It is that has disturbed her balance, aroused in her this violent jealousy, and brought upon her as a consequence all these fits of depression. Now everybody went through all these challenges of life. But now no drastic or cutting way can lead out of the difficulty. It is by a growth of the consciousness that this entanglement can be solved. This to Dhiman Bhai doesn't mean that she will say the same thing to everyone. My dear mother, may my vital consecrate itself more and more to the divine. And she says, yes, always with you, my dear child, in your effort of progress. Then there is another letter which he asks about H, and he says, should I completely cut off all connection with her? And if required, I'll stop speaking with her in a friendly manner and cut off all connection with her. Mother's reply, no drastic measure of that kind would be of any use. On the contrary, it would make things worse. There is much to say on the subject, and there are several points of view. It cannot be solved in such a simple and cutting way. Then he continues, my dear mother, as far as I understand, H knows fully well that she has a vital attachment for me and that it brings trouble to her. Several times she has spoken to me about it, saying, if I turn toward the mother and if her relation becomes pure, all my difficulties will come to an end. I feel that she is conscious of the defect, but at the same time too weak, lacking a firm will and confidence. Diagnosis is quite correct. Mother's reply, there is only to be patient. It will become all right with time. When the vital will be convinced that there is no hope for its desire. This is what happens here. It gets very badly hit. In outside world also, desire gets eventually at some point, maybe after a lifetime, you realize that desires ultimately lead you. But here it's like, if you are marked out, very soon. If you are not marked out, sooner than later. Because this is the, each land has its law. This is the law here. So desires get very badly hit. And you have to go through that purification. There is no other choice. So this is how it continues. And my dear mother, jealousy jealousy prevails in Orome. Here I give you a letter from G and one from H. I have answered them both. Mother says, jealousy comes from a narrowness of the mind and a weakness of the heart. It is a great pity that so many are attacked by it. Your answers are all right. It was a very common, these problems were very common here. Not in one. So we are all like representative, go through this, we go through these challenges in a very, each in his own way. Okay. So, that way, these are beautiful, interesting letters. So, somebody is unhappy and Dhiman Bhai writes, my dear brother, mother, so and so is unhappy. What do I do? And A has worked. He has been treated kindly. Nobody has treated him as kindly as you have. And yet he has proved himself ungrateful to everybody. If he finds happiness elsewhere, he can go. But I think he will not. That makes it worse. He will not go. But he will remain unhappy. And everybody has been kind towards him, including the mother, her mother, of course. So mother's reply, each one carries his capacity of happiness in himself. But to tell the truth, I am convinced that those who cannot be happy here can be happy nowhere. This is so true. Because with all the challenges, you have that supreme grace. You're bathing in that. And if one opens, otherwise same problems will come. Maybe in a miniature way. That's true. But then that seed of happiness, that rain of happiness will be missing. There is correspondence with Champaklalji. We all know who he is. Lion of the mother, how he has served. And he, actually, if there is one person in whom one could actually see physically the transformation at the most physical level, it is Champaklalji for sure. Maybe there are others. But I can say for sure, having had his you know, I don't want to use the word darshan, it is so special except for mother, extremely intuitive. With Dhyumanbhai also I had those experiences where he knew the what I was thinking, so much so that there was a very funny incident that I would not go to anyone except mother, and somebody said Dhyumanbhai's birthday. I said, it's okay. So he said, no, there is very good laddu, which he is giving to people who meet him. So laddu was like enticement. So I said, okay, I'll go for the laddu. As I entered his room, he was turned toward the wall. Suddenly he moves, picks up the laddu, gives me the laddu, and goes back. No communication, that's it. I had so many beautiful experiences with him. So with Champaklalji, my first meeting of Champaklalji, when I saw, again, Shurabindo's room, Champaklalji's room used to be right there where, you know, next to it, his bathroom was converted into his room. And I was a bit hesitant initially. I said, yes, I know he is wonderful, but, you know, Shurabindo, I don't want anything else. But still I went, everybody is going because he has served. So I said, must see somebody who has served. And he was picking up something and giving, picking up something, some flower to everyone. So as I went there, Kavita also was there. And the interesting part was Kavita was carrying. So he gave one flower to me, he gave one to Kavita. And that later on we realized that the flower that he gave to her was strange. A rose which was like half a rose within one rose. It was actually one and a half roses, literally. Very strange. So when I saw him, his body radiating light, and I was completely taken aback. I said, who is this? Where am I? And I tried to just keep looking in his eyes, very powerful eyes, and suddenly I could actually experience that lot of power, literally like, you know, particles you send. So like those particles are entering my eyes and going there, and everything of mine vanished except a point in the heart. Nothing else. I was conscious of nothing else. And I said, no, I'll look into his eyes, but then I was not aware of anything except this point. And he would normally send away people immediately. Go. Nobody could stay like that. But then I burst crying. And I touched his feet, something which I had long time, I decided I'll not touch anybody's feet except Mother and Shobindo. I touched his feet. And he allowed for some time, he put his finger on the head, and then he gave something more, and then we left. That day till, this was morning 10 o'clock, till evening we didn't feel hungry. No lunch, nothing, no thirst. So I have seen, so I asked a question to someone here. I said, he travels, I believe. He said, yes, he travels because after 76 he started going out. So I said, how does he travel? When people see him, what would happen? And then Dr. Maheshwari was there. He said, no. When they travel, they veil themselves. They cover themselves. And then I realized, yes, because when he has traveled so many places after that, so many stories of him, I've given a talk on Champaklalji. And there's such people, quite a few I met. And you know what this yoga does. And yet you become like a child. He was literally like a baby. Literally like a baby at one level. But how they were shaped. He was born on 2nd February 1902. And we know that he served as a personal attendant to Shurabindo and the mother, both. He would be, look like angry in a moment, and next moment he would be, I one more experience I can share. So I had the privilege of, when he would be in his room, which is now it's a very special room, but Shurabindo's room means that place where he would be in his bed. And I had a 20-day, I used to come on holidays, so afternoon I could be in his attendance. So I would sit there, and first day I was like, this is an opportunity of lifetime, like Hanuman, I have to be so alert. He was sleeping, but he knew my state. So he sent message, no, tell him to relax. How did he know that I was sitting hawk-eyed that if a fly comes, I'm going to hit that fly. So then I was relaxed after that day. So one day he drank carrot juice half a glass. There was somebody who came to give him. I would name him, someone from Gujarat who had come. So after half a juice, half a glass, he went into trance. And this gentleman took away the glass from him. And Champaklalji was in trance. He would go very often in trance. And I thought, oh my God, this juice, if I could drink. I just thought. And then I saw. Of course, he knew him very well, obviously. And he was going to drink. Champaklalji comes out of his trance and tells him, he would say like that. And like a lion. So he looked back. And then he says, pointing to me, give to him. I said, he knows everything. This is how the mother trained. And once he would not allow anybody to touch his feet. So one day, I thought, ek bar to I should, you know, like once I had done, and then, so suddenly one day I saw he is fumbling to wear his chappals. I said, I have my opportunity. So I went down, started fitting the chappals into his feet. When I looked up, like a child, he was smiling. He see, this is what you wanted? Here you got it. Even meditation in Sri Aurobindo's room with him. So it was like you could see they are so different. What the Superman would be, you can understand. He's not sitting like a Sadhu Baba, sitting on a pulpit with big jata jute and saying things, bacha. It's like at one level, one of us. At another level, inwardly so developed. So these were so, but how they have been shaped this way. So he asks a question. Champaklalji. Mother, I am really attached to my family a lot and especially to my father. See, like a child he is. Would you please write down for me whatever you said this morning, because it has helped me a lot. Though I am not fit to be your child, by thy grace all is possible. Thy grace is my mantra. I want to be your faithful child and nothing else. May all the parts of my being be yours. This is how they lived and went the way. Mother says, take advantage of the circumstances to get rid of all attachment to the members of your family. You must learn. Now what she says is so wonderful. You must learn that you have no more brothers, sisters, father, mother, except Sri Aurobindo and myself. And you must feel free and unconcerned whatever happens to them. We are your whole family, your protection, your all in all. You know, we remember, na tato, na mata, na bandhur, na bhrata. Exactly what she is advising him. And so it goes on. And plenty of course, as I said, messages and letters. But 1940 has come in. Early 20s, 21 maybe around that time. 1940, after 19 years of in that service, see how these forces work. He writes, for the past few months, I get the idea of going from here. Is it from you? See, the mind is getting confused. We are living so much, you know, tuned to her. If it is mother's wish, I can go. Your ignorant child, Champak, with pranam. Mother writes, no, it is a hostile suggestion. Trying to send you away because your presence is most helpful and necessary. See how these forces were attacking even those who are so near. That's what we have to see, you know, that they take veiled forms. So this is mother's suggestion. This is coming from her. I hope you will dismiss this wrong suggestion altogether and think no more of it. Your place is near us and you must stay here. Blessings. To Champaklal for his birthday. And this applies to everyone. The things which seem most difficult, most impossible, most improbable, and perhaps even most impossible, become wholly realizable because thy presence is our assurance that the material world itself is prepared to manifest the new form of thy will and thy law with my blessings. Mother has given him this on his birthday. How she was shaping everyone, like it's unimaginable. Then comes, we know, Dilip Kumar Roy, another difficult person. His story we all know, so I'll not go into the story. At one level, when he would sing the bhajan, Krishna would be there, and this was confirmed both by Krishna Prem and Sri Aurobindo, that you don't know. So somebody with whom Sri Krishna is there, and he is so special, who was Hector when Sri Aurobindo is Paris. That is the link of bhakti. But he would get urges to go away. And ultimately he went away. He got into a bad state and ultimately went away. But then came out. But though he remained outside, we all know. I had a very strange experience. For me it was like in Pune. So ashram needed some of the cassettes. Not ashram, society. So they asked me, can you go and collect? Because there was no such thing like, you know, courier service or all. We don't know whom to contact. So before that, I had this thing. Oh, he left mother and he did not believe in mother. I'll never, you know, think about, talk about him. But strangely, I had to go because it was work, mother's work. So when I went there, of course, Sri Aurobindo is there, but mother is not there. So you can imagine that kind of state. And yet, these people rose to what greatness? People there worship him actually. He is Samadhi, Indradevi Samadhi, and you know, it's a whole Hare Krishna Mandir. So it's very amazing that how Sri Aurobindo's grace never left. That's a long story about his life. But here, the mother writes, Dilip, for God's sake, come back to your common sense. I never said that I would see you no more. What kind of suggestions used to come? Sri Aurobindo asked you only to be patient. And as for the silent expressionless love, he is not conscious of having written to you anything of the kind. Now, so he has written to Sri Aurobindo, your love is silent expressionless. And to the mother it is grudging. Just imagine. So they have put in inverted commas, mother. Now, about my grudging smile, I will tell you what I said to Sri Aurobindo when I met him today at 1:30. Relating what happened in the morning at Pranam, I told him concerning you, there is a letter of Dilip to you and I do not know what he writes, but I can assure you that when Dilip came to me this morning, I gave him a good long blessing and my best smile. See what play of forces. You can understand that I felt somewhat astonished when I heard that my best smile was a grudging one. Are you quite sure that you did not look in your head at what you imagined would be instead of looking at my face? Your going away is quite out of question. I want you to remain here because I know that it is here and here only that you can and will be happy. Why do you ask for my love? Is it not long since you have it already? How they have dealt with each one. That love you feel. Okay. Again he would get these. Because the vital was very problematic. So again she says, Dilip, without waiting for Sri Aurobindo, I answer your letter at once because truly I cannot make out what is the matter. Nobody is displeased with you, neither Sri Aurobindo nor myself. We do not dream of it a single moment. Before you wrote yesterday, I had repeated to Sri Aurobindo what I told you in the morning. And when he read your letter, he saw that you had not understood me. So in his answer, he explained what I meant. Did you read his letter? What a way imagine, she could have said, it's okay, you want to leave, fine, I am detached. But this is not detachment, this is much more above love. It's not that she wants anything out of him. But that love, tremendous love, which has plunged into the creation. So they said plenty of letters. I have just read a little selections, but it's so amazing. Now comes another sweet little, may not see, often we think that the names, the big names, but there are people whose names are not known because they didn't give talks, they didn't go out, they didn't look like, but they are very great in their own right. So Tara Patil, I had the great fortune of meeting her also. She was in care and I had a very sweet relation with her. She would not speak much, but very sweet relation. Look at what she's writing. She has made a handkerchief for the mother. She used to do embroidery. Mother says, little star child. Mother used to call her my little star child. Such a fine handkerchief you have sent me and made for me, my dear little child. I shall take it with me for pranam this morning and you will place your head upon it to receive a special blessing of love. She would also go through sadness and mother says, my dear little star, it is always our weaknesses that make us sad and we can easily recover by advancing one step more on the way. Whatever I have met her and seen her, amazing. She is a yogini in her own right. I don't know, some of us here may have seen her. She was in care, wonderful. But they all go through difficulty. She would say, see, guru and mother, see the relation. What a difference. So here she is writing, Mosher Peti Peti Pati, my sweet child, dear child. My dear little star, it was indeed a very good and intimate meeting we had yesterday. You are truly my dear child, my little one, and uniting our strength, I am quite sure she shall overcome all that tries to disturb our sweet intimacy. We shall overcome. She's not saying you don't realize how important I am. We shall overcome. My love and blessings are always, always with you. I take you in my arms and keep you on my heart. Next day she writes, or after a few days she writes, I would like to have news from you. Won't you write? So when people ask, why do you want us to write? You know everything. She said, no, it is to build a two-way communication bridge. When we write, often people say, now why should we write? Because it builds a bridge with the mother. That's why it's important. It is very good that you have become conscious of the mistakes and defects of the nature. Everybody goes through this. It's not. Once you are conscious, it is always possible to rise out of them and to change the nature. My help will always be with you for that. Love and blessings to my dear little star. So at one point she says, I cannot do yoga. Just imagine what situations people used to go through. Actually, I have seen her so deeply rooted in her true self. What shall I say? That, you know, a smile. But what is the journey? That's the beauty of these letters. Mosher Pati, I'm sorry for my pronunciation, C-H-E-R, I don't know, French, what is it? Cher. Okay, Mosher Pati. It is not that you cannot do the yoga, you were doing it all right at one time. The difficulty is only in the physical mind where the resistance you speak of is a stronghold. If you can keep very quiet, not upset or discouraged and allow our force to work from behind the mind, it will after a time eliminate the obstacle. Again, everybody used to get this thing. I'll go away. I cannot. The pressure is so much. And mother has to write a letter. One, I do not approve at all of your going. Number two, I do not approve also of your jealousy, which is baseless and meaningless. And the best thing to do is to overcome it by thinking a little more of your work and a little less of yourself. Three, I still hope that you will pick up some courage to overcome the present difficulty and to come back to a normal condition in which you can do your work. So this, all this too, you know, that how they went through, that do not make mountains out of small things. And that's what is so beautiful. Okay, then we have a very interesting person, Ambu Bhai. I don't know whether some people have seen. He's all the picture on the asanas you will see. And he's the one, they used to have a BBC bachelors only meeting. this is how ashram it was. And once, because he used to have long hair, and once he was wearing his, shorts, whatever, shorts are too short. And without banyan, he was walking on the road. From behind, a French fellow saw him with the long hair and he got behind him thinking it's a girl. Real story. I mean, that's how they grew. And how he left his body also so unimaginable. And so, mother tells him, and this applies to all of us, I do not want the work of slaves. It's not like, I have to do this work. No, please excuse me. She would say, I don't want that. I want the work of free people who work because they feel benefited by it and for whom work is a source of joy and strength. Whatever you cannot do in that spirit, it is better not to do. So clear. And then again, one of the common problems used to be depression, because these hostile forces attack like that. So she says, what is this temptation to fall once more into depression? I was so happy that you have had surmounted that. The more the attacks are strong, the more we must keep firm in a position of complete trust in the divine. To my baby, she used to call him baby. To my baby. Let all the clouds, depression and bad sensations disappear to never come again. So there are so many beautiful, interesting letters. Once he, my dear baby is a faithful baby. So once some people came, they wanted to know about yoga. So mother asked Ambu Bhai that you please tell them. So he told them. Then he said, mother, why did you ask me? I know only this, some exercises, asanas. You should have asked Amal Kiran to talk to them. He said, you know, if Amal Kiran would have talked to them, you would have talked something so high that none of them would have understood. They were basic beginners. This is a group from outside. You are the right person. You will tell them just what is needed. This was her way. My dear faithful baby, so beautiful. I hope you will courageously go through the struggle and win the victory over depression, gaining back a lasting happiness. This is how she has, with her love, poured her love, endless love. My dear faithful baby, the eyes which can see and recognize me are eyes of the heart, not those of the head. How beautiful, sweet little. So anyway, so this is, then comes another, I'm just reading one, I mean, I feel the temptation sometimes, but well, people can read it, it's just a little touch here and there. We know Parichand Bhai, who, you know, in the garden he worked, and all this family, Parichand Bhai, Rishabh Chand, all of them came together, and their letters with regard to him. They have very nice, they have given a little introduction to, well, he worked as a gatekeeper, librarian and English teacher. He began working in the garden of the ashram's main building. So then he worked on the garden in the ashram. And just one odd letter which... here it is. So he has written a long letter asking that, and this letter is about transplanting of ferns, writing all about, you know, those things. And mothers, the only thing I insist upon is care, gentleness, consideration, as you would have for a living being. For plants are living and they feel and suffer. Yes, when a plant is tired or sick, give it rest for a few days in a proper place and it will recover. Repotting is always repotting. You know, some people try it. Repotting is always a blow, and to give a blow to a sick plant is just the way of finishing it. What details she would go in everything. I mean, there was nothing which was small for her. Then there is, of course, Jayanti Lal, whom we know. He worked in the Ashram Press and plenty of stories he's also, but I am just reading some of them. So people used to get problems, inter-conflict. I want to leave the press. So basically it ends to that. There is a letter. At the end of it says, I want to leave the press. If the mother would permit me, I would like to be free from press work. Mother says, if you leave the press, the work will be ruined. Just look at it. As soon as I have a moment free, I shall call you in the morning and we shall talk it over. And then she writes something which should be inscribed. At least to me, it was such a beautiful eye-opener. The more I go, this is 1966. The more I go, the more I know that it is in work that Sri Aurobindo's yoga is best done. It is in work that Sri Aurobindo's yoga is best done. And people used to develop all these ego reactions. Oh, I am not important. I am working here. I am being, you know, all the usual reactions of the ego. So mother has to write to them, you are not only wanted, but indispensable for the centenary work, which would not be done properly without you. Because she has appointed some people already, but she has not yet told him. So he feels offended that centenary edition is coming out. I am not there. And then of course correspondence with Prithvi Singh. He used to later on type out Sri Aurobindo's writings, and he, when he came, he had eye problem. What a handsome man, you know. Literally, I've seen his picture and I asked him, is it Vinod Khanna's picture, Didi? What is he? He said, it's my father. And so I said, yeah, I know I am, but he is so handsome. She said, yes, yes, he was very handsome. And he had this problem of the eyes. Doctors had told him, maybe 35, 40, you will lose the eyesight. And when he came and told mother, mother gave him what work? Proofreading Sri Aurobindo. Just imagine. And she looked at his eyes for some time and said, no, it will never happen. It won't happen. So 70, 71, he left his body around, I think 70, 71. But even that age, if somebody wanted to be sure of what Sri Aurobindo has really written, they would ask Prithvi Singh. Just imagine what she can do. He would take it very close to his eyes because there was a problem. He would put his head like this and say, and that was the final word. And he had experiences of Ashwin Kumar's coming to him to when he had the heart attack. We have shared that story. So something very interesting she writes to him. My dear child, I do not see that the supramental will act in the way you expect from it. Its action will be to effectuate the divine's will upon earth, whatever that may be. On men, its action will be to turn their will consciously or unconsciously on their part towards the way in which the divine will wants them to go. Then she writes something very powerful. 1945, before the supramental manifestation. So you must understand. But I cannot promise you that the divine's will is to preserve the present human civilization. But I cannot promise you that the divine's will is to preserve the present human civilization. The civilization will change entirely. Human beings will evolve into. So it's very powerful. Of course, this is 45 before. And then okay, one is very interesting. He would translate Savitri. Now this I have been telling people and nobody, you know, so I am now quoting this authority because it was not there in the collected works earlier. Thank God it's here now. Regarding the disciples' attempt to translate Savitri into Bengali. Prithvi Singh, my dear child, and he's so close to Shurubindu, just you can imagine, you know, with the kind of work. If you want me to express frankly my view of this affair, I must say that I consider Savitri as untranslatable and will never encourage a translation of it, except as a personal exercise for the sake of concentration on this unique marvel, but surely not for publication. So very clearly this is, that is why I cannot attach any importance to this contention. Certainly, you can continue the translation of Savitri for your own benefit. And I am sure that the help from Sri Aurobindo will always be with you. Okay, so as I said, beautiful letters. And another very interesting. Prithvi Singh. Those who, you know, this was this war in the Middle East, she is saying. He is asked about war in the Middle East. And he speaks of the supramental action. Mother says, Arab-Israel war mainly. Mother says, Prithvi Singh, those who serve the truth cannot take one side or another. Truth is above conflict and opposition. In truth, all countries unite in a common effort towards progress and realization. And then about music, she writes something which is very interesting and important. The role of music lies in helping the consciousness to uplift itself toward the spiritual heights. All that lowers the consciousness, all that, you know, so-called music comes, encourages desires and excites the passion, runs counter to the true goal of music and ought to be avoided. And then, of course, we have, I'm just reading one letter, last two probably. There is a letter to Indrasen ji where he asks her, we all know Esther Dee's father, and he was a psychologist, he has written a book on psychology, and then he asked her basic issues of Indian education. So she was asked, because this all this took place recently, so it's very relevant, that's why I took it out. So he asked, one, in view of the present and the future of national and international living, what is it that India should aim at in education? She says, prepare her children for the rejection of falsehood and the manifestation of truth. Two, by what step should the country proceed to realize this high aim? Answer, very brief answers. Make matter ready to manifest the spirit. What is India's true genius and what is her destiny? To teach the world that matter is false and impotent unless it becomes the manifestation of the spirit. How does the mother's view progress of science and technology in India? She says, its only use is to make the material basis stronger, completer and more effective for the manifestation of the spirit. The unity of all the nations is the compelling future of the world. But for the unity of all nations to be possible, each nation must first realize its own unity. Unity must be a living fact and not the imposition of an arbitrary rule. When India will be one, she will have spontaneously a language understood by all. Get out of conventions and insist on the growth of the soul. So what is the real problem? What illusions and delusions is our education today? She says the almost exclusive importance given to success, career and money. Insist on the paramount importance of the contact with the spirit and the growth and manifestation of truth of the being. Then of course, now we are toward the end, correspondence with Surendranath Jor. We all know who he is, you know, Taradi's esteemed father. And She writes this very well known, it's there in collected works, but it's always good to read it again and again, because you'll say, nobody is with me, nobody supports me. He had this problem. He says, nobody understands what I'm doing. There's a whole interview, you'll find it somewhere on one of the channels, where there's an interview with Surendranath Chaur, where he says that, Mother, where will I find this strength? She says, strength is in you. He says, nobody understands. Nobody is with me in this effort. So she says, Surendranath, never forget that you are not alone. The divine is with you, helping and guiding you. He is the companion who never fails, the friend whose love comforts and strengthens. More you feel lonely, more you are ready to perceive his luminous presence. Have faith and he will do everything for you. He had an amazing sense of humor, this for sure. Wonderful person. And of course she gave so much love and care and attention to New Delhi, the Delhi Ashram. And we know the name has changed of that road which takes to the ashram. The name is Shurbindu Marg. So he used to tell people, see, whether I walk the path or not, I have made many people walk on Shurbindu's path because of the name of the road. That sense of humor. Wonderful person. There is one odd letter, as I said last. Letter to Madam's Maud Smith. I don't know who she was. They have given a brief description. 1910, she was born in the United States. Joined the ashram in 53 at the age of 42. So, mother writes to her. And everybody goes through the same similar problems. Look at the sun and not at the darkness. And the darkness will melt to an insignificant fly. Applies to us, to the world, to everything. And I think last one is to Pradyot. Yes, this is the last. And Pradyodha, he was born in August 1905, 21st August, in Chittagong. And then he came here, he was an engineer, he comes here, he became the trustee, one of the first trustees. And the interesting part was that mother asked him, you are so qualified, what work will I give you? These are our ways to see, you know, what he is ready for. And I have stories about him also, but anyways, he became chairman of Shurbindu's action, and in 1972, the mother appointed him as an ashram trustee. He lived in the ashram for 41 years until his passing on 22nd November 84 at the age of 79. All went through the same challenges, similar challenges. One of them is, mother, the irritation is not there now, but there is fever. He asks about something, probably because of infection caused by remnant urine in the bladder, which has not been cleared as the flow is little. Then he writes something very interesting. I ask this question because, see how they could ask mother everything. Because the prostate is a sex gland. Because, you know, the prostate, probably because of that, the urine retention was there and infection. At home and outside, I have to live and deal with many girls and their problems. I thought I was reasonably free from sex. I consciously aspired for it to be able to do my work. Is it? Now see how he's writing. Is it that the sex god did not like it and struck me on the victory day on that gland? See how mother is writing. How the divine mother. Surely the sex god is not stronger than the divine love. And you can be assured that the divine's love is with you. And the sex god will have to behave properly. What a sense of humor she brings in. That, you know, she has not said no. She has understood that this interaction is bringing things. But she says eventually divine love is the all-powerful. And he will have to learn to behave properly. And last, I will read. Nothing can ultimately oppose the divine's love. It is the eternal victor, love. So this is the path she opened for all of us. The path of actually love. She embodies that love. And as children, we have to be just frank with her. She's not just going to tell us a technique or a method. There's so much talk about, and in the name of integral yoga, so much technique goes on. That's not it. It's a relation we form with God. All yoga is about forming a relation with the divine, getting closer to him, more and more intimate, and then joining him, as a famous poet has said, pehle ja, fir jaane ja, fir, you know, you become everything. So that's the way the yoga proceeds, whatever way, by writing, by speaking to her, form a relation, looking at her, and eventually you become increasingly one with her. Chema.